everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Prost. I am the chief geek in charge here. That's me. I started this whole thing 33 years ago. Getting ready to wrap up the radio into this after 33 years, sometime in November. We'll let you know an exact date as it comes closer. But continuing on with the podcast, as long as my voice continues on. I'm getting a lot of email. Why is radio disappearing? You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, it is disappearing, and it's a technical thing. Let me try and explain it to you. All of the good radio people go up on one satellite. It's the good satellite. I forget what the name of it is. And by the way, that satellite has changed over years. What was the good satellite 20 years ago is like not the good satellite today. But everybody that you ever hear on radio on a national basis that's good goes up on this satellite. We'll call it Satellite A, which is what we are up on now. There are two ways to get to Satellite A. There's a place in Denver, and there's a place in Chicago. The place in Chicago is owned by a company called Westwood One, and that's who we go up through. And sometime in November, they're going to stop that. So if you want to go up on that satellite, you have to go to the outfit out in Denver, which cost, as I've been told, more than twice as much per minute to be on there. So the network had to make some hard choices, and many of our shows, including mine, are going to go away. Unless, of course, I wanted to pay for that satellite time myself, which I don't. But, that is the story. And, I'm about ready to be done with radio anyway. Been doing it a long time. And I'm looking forward to doing the podcasting thing. I teach podcasting now in Clearwater. I'm having a good time podcasting. We've got the Ask the Garden Geek podcast going. Getting ready to start another one, which I will tell you about soon. That has nothing to do with gardening. But it's still going to be a fun podcast. You know, fun and decent podcast. I don't say bad words on my podcast. I just don't. I got 5 kids, 5 grandkids. You know, I found out about podcasting. You're allowed to swear on there. And there's plenty of people who do. Not me. You know, I got, 5 kids. They're all adults now. 5 grandkids. They're all young. And I've got mommy and daddy super Catholics in heaven looking down at me, and I don't want to disappoint them. I just don't. So I'm not going to swear on my podcast when that time comes, which, by the way, I've turned down a lot of opportunities in radio over the years to be one of those morning shock jock type people. I was offered real money, but I said, I can't do anything on radio that I wouldn't want my children to listen to. So I turned all of those things down. It's just me. Not saying that it's a bad thing. I mean, you know, I love Howard Stern as much as anybody does. I think he's a great interviewer. It's just not me. Anyway, hope you're having a great day. I have to tell you, I'm now on week 3 of not mowing my lawn anymore. I have hired it out. I'm having medical issues with getting dehydrated very quickly. And for what I've gone in, I've had blood work, I've had all kinds of stuff. I now know how to test myself to see if it's bad. And the way I test myself, I guess this would work for you. I grab the skin on my arm, you know, and I pinch it up a little bit, and then I let go. If it pops right back into place, I'm good. Everything's wonderful. If it stays there, then I'm not. And right now, I'm pinching it up. Everything's good. Goes right back into place. But yesterday, I was out looking at trees, and as I was outside in our 98-degree temperatures here in Florida, looking at trees, I wasn't feeling good, and I'd been drinking water like crazy, and I did the little pinch test, and sure enough, it didn't go down. I was done looking at trees. I was back home drinking Gatorade and relaxing. I was done for the day. This was like 11 o'clock in the morning, so we got to find I'm old, but I'm not that old. And I really, I cannot mow my lawn. And that makes me mad. You know, it makes me mad. I like mowing my lawn. I don't like mowing my lawn. I love mowing my lawn. Now, last week on the show, we talked about a guy dealing with trees in Tampa. His name is Topher Morrison. I mispronounced his name. I called him Troper. Then I mispronounced it when I tried to correct it and called him Toper. It's Topher, like Gopher. And we've communicated. He might come on the show sometime. Not this week, because he didn't get back to me in time this week, but he said he wanted to come on. Said he enjoyed what I said. And, you know, even though I disagreed with him somewhat, we both agree that palm trees are not our favorite trees. As a matter of fact, I don't like palm trees at all. That's why there's none in my yard. Absolutely none. Now, ex-wife number two, Diane, she, you know, I was married to this woman. I was married to her when I got rid of like 9 palm trees that were in a yard of a house that we bought together. And she understands. But she wants to move to South Florida with me. She wants me to sell. She wants to sell. She wants me to go down to Punta Gorda area, you know, down Lehigh Acres, Punta Gorda, down there. And she wants to buy a little house, and she wants to plant palms on it. Now, I said, what? And I said, you know, I'm all for like packing up and going down there. I'm ready to do that. You know, that sounds fun, but why palms? And then that leads me to something else that my son reminded me of. Oh gosh, back in 1998. Yeah, 1997. I think it was 1997. I went down to Pine Island, Florida, which is a small island off the coast of West Florida. Beautiful place. Oh man, I love Pine Island. They don't have a beach. It is a place where fishermen hang out. And I bought 3 building lots down there. I just went down there. I saw an ad for them in the Tampa Bay Business Journal. And I said, I want to go down there. So I took the then Mrs. Gross, who is the third Mrs. Gross, and we went down there. And we looked at it, and they 3 building lots, and I bought them cheap. I bought them for $10,000. Paid $10,000, all told, $10,000 for 3 building lots on the main drag. And I sat there, and I said, gosh, this just seems like a wonderful idea. You know what one of the big industries is in Pine Island? Palm tree nurseries. There's a bunch of them down there. And I said, you know, we could build a house back over there, and we could turn the rest of this place into a palm tree nursery where we do palm tree propagation of certain palms. And I had a couple in mind. And we could just lay it all out, and we could do that. We wouldn't make any money on it, oh, probably for 15, 20 years. Then we'd make a lot of money because they would all be mature trees and they would sell for big bucks. And it, you know, we were going to do it. Man, we had bought the land. Talked to builders, found a builder, found the house I wanted to have built out there. And that was, you know, we were going to, even though I don't like palms, I like growing things, and I would have enjoyed growing the palms from seed. As a matter of fact, I had once helped a student of mine many years ago, back in the 80s, who wanted to do that. He was retired Air Force, and he wanted to do that. And we, at the greenhouse where I taught, he sat out there and developed a way to just get the palm seeds to germinate and take root. And then he would take them out to where he lived. He lived over in Land O'Lakes at a nudist resort. And he had a mobile home out there that he had a big lot behind of. And he took all of those, he would get the things germinated at school and then take them out there. And he had, by the time he was done, he had like 500 trees that he had growing. And he said, I'm just going to sit here and wait 20 years and then I'm going to sell them. Well, that's exactly what he did. He waited 20 years and he started selling them, and they were selling like crazy. Then he died. So he didn't, you know. But, you know, had we done that in 1997, we'd have been doing rather well right now. You know, rather well indeed. But, you know, life happens. Life always happens. Just when you think things are cool, life gets in the way. And what my life that got in the way was my sister got sick. My sister worked for the police department. She got sick. She said they found a spot on her lung during the yearly chest x-ray that all police people had to take. And thus started a 3-year journey. And I wasn't going to leave her. I stayed with her through the entire journey. And she passed away in 1999 of lung cancer. And it was always my sister's job. My brother and I had always said it's our sister's job to take care of mom. You know, and when mom gets too old, can't take care of herself. Well, my sister was gone, so that job fell onto me because my brother lived here. You know, he moved someplace else. It was my job. So consequently, We, you know, held on to the land for a long time, sold the land at an enormous profit, but never got to go down there. Never got to go down there at all. And I was down there, I don't know, 7 or 8 months ago, drove by the property, who the people we sold it to sold part of it to the county, and the other part's just sitting there. But I don't know, not ready to go start a palm tree nursery now. But I might be ready to go down there and do some propagating of some kind. Anyway, you're listening to Ask the Garden. Fungus.
Yeah,
that's a disease. What is fungus? It's a disease. It gets on plants. Well, we all can get a disease, but plants get diseases. And there, you know, on turf grass especially, there's some diseases that are not too bad, and there's some diseases that are really bad. Rhizoctonia, or brown patch fungus, is very, very bad. You don't want to have that. Trust me, you don't. But if you get it, here's what you got to do. You got to use a strong fungicide on it. Bayer's got a pretty good lawn fungicide that comes in a granular that people are having success with, and you can find it anywhere, you know, nursery products are sold. But here's the thing. Once you get it under control, the fungus is always going to be there. And you have to put down preventative fungicides every year thereafter in the spring to make sure that it doesn't come back in the summer. It is a bit of a problem. Are there natural ways to take care of rhizoctonia or brown patch fungus? I wish there was. And I've heard some things dilly-dallied about, and I've even tried some things that have been dilly-dallied about over the years, and none of them have ever worked. Nothing has ever worked at all. One of the things you can do culturally to prevent fungus is, number one, do not water at night. Unless, of course, it rains at night, then that's bad. But that is not water at night. If you have an automatic sprinkler system, set it to come off at 5 o'clock in the morning. That way, all the excess gets burned off by the sun when the sun comes out at 6, 6:30, depending upon when the sun comes out. So the grass is, you know, the water is just not sitting on the grass. Here's another thing. Ease up on the nitrogen fertilizer. I got my friend Ralph and his wife. They had a lawn care company. You know, they went out and treated lawns. Maquette's over in the corner of the studio, and he's looking at me, and he's acting weird. Are you okay? Ramona, are you all right? Okay, she's all right. Anyway, they got into the lawn care business rather late in life, and they were using a fertilizer back then that was a 24-5-11, and the 24, the nitrogen, was all fast release, and they were putting it down on all of their lawns. And I said, you know, you're going to have problems doing that. It's not a balanced approach. And they said, oh, but the lawns turn so green, and it's so wonderful, and the customers are so happy. I said, you're going to run into some problems. Sure enough, man, I was in that business myself for darn near 35 years. And we had thousands of customers, and we rarely, if ever, had a fungus problem on one of our customers because we did balanced fertilization. This couple, and they're good friends of mine, they're retired now, but they're very good friends of mine. They had nothing but disease problems, and they're telling me, he's calling me up, he's, oh, I'm using this, and I'm using Daconil, I'm using all of these things. I said, why? He said, because we've got fungus and all these. I said, didn't I tell you? They said, no, it's not costing the fertilizer. And then they would treat for fungus, and then they were out there the very next week throwing more fertilizer on it, which was the nitrogen in the fertilizer is feeding the fungus, and it's taken, you know, anyway, they had a mess. They spent that 1 year, she told me, And by the way, my business was a lot bigger than theirs, a lot bigger than theirs. And she told me at the end of the year, she itemized everything up, her accountant itemized everything up. She said, did you know that we spent $13,000 on fungicides last year? She goes, how much did you spend? And they had, you know, they had 80, 90 customers, maybe 100 customers. I had like, you know, 1,500 customers. I said, I spent approximately $200 on fungicide last year. And she said, well, how did you have, you know, what do you, I said, I told you, you need to go with balanced fertilization, balanced nutrition. And I then put them on a different path for the time. And I had them using a 15-4-15 fertilizer with half of the nitrogen being slow release. And she was, she goes, it's not going to green the yards up. I said, you're balancing the nitrogen with the potassium. I said, you're going to reduce the amount that you put on anyway because you're over-fertilizing everything. And on your spray program, increase the iron. They did that. And when they did that, they found that their fungus situation reduced rather dramatically. And all of a sudden, she says, we haven't done a fungus application in a month and a half. I said, see? She goes, we were doing them every day. I said, yeah. So it's all a matter of balance in the first place. Now, sometimes, you know, even the best lawn can get a fungus. And one of the ways that the lawns that we took care of got fungus is a lawn mowing company would mow a lawn, like one of Ralph's lawns, it had brown patch fungus in it. And then they would come over and mow one of my yards and they would spread the fungus from the lawnmower blade. And that was how, you know, any of my customers got fungus. But my lawns were strong, organically strong, because we had balanced fertilization. And we're using a lot less fertilizer at the time, you know, a lot less fertilizer than he was anyway. And we were able to, at that time, I don't think it's available anymore. We used a product called Daconil, sprayed it on there, knocked it out early. I knocked it out totally early. And then we were done. And that was only at 1 or 2 yards that that happened to. Of all the lawns that we took care of, that 1 or 2 yards would get fungus. So it's just, you got to watch when you're fertilizing. Number one, don't over-fertilize. You know, don't over-fertilize. Right now, you know what fertilizer I use on my yard? It's Milorganite, which is a 100% organic, slow-release form of nitrogen. I got a green yard. My yard is greener than any of Ralph's old yards that he was dumping all this stuff on. But my yard is a nice, organically green yard with Milorganite, and that's what I use. Now, once or twice a year, usually once a year, I will supplement that with a little bit of fruit tree fertilizer, which is a 4-6-8, because I want the potassium, the 8 from the potassium. I will put that on usually in the fall. And I will put that on a light application, primarily because there's no potassium in the Milorganite, and I want the ground to have some potassium. So I'll put that on in the fall. But that's what I'm doing. You know, will that work where you live? It might not, probably will. You know, I know a lot of people all across the country are using that plan right now, going organic with the fertilizer. I would much rather go organic with the fertilizer than organic with the pesticide, although for the most part, I'm organic with the pesticide too. This is where we've come to. You're talking here to a guy that has spread thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of insecticide on lawns all over. And now, if I still had that business, if I still had that, all of that business, my primary pesticide would be a product called Essentria, which you can find it on Amazon. And I would be spraying all of my lawns with Essentria, which is 100% botanical, organic, and wonderful. And if that didn't handle it, I would moderately go in with an imidacloprid pesticide. Moderately, if the Essentria didn't work. You see, balance. Okay. still the heat, the humidity, is wreaking havoc on our plants and giving them diseases. Oh my goodness gracious. What are we going to do about this? I'm not sure. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Ask the Garden Geek. I am Michael Crose. I started this whole mess 33 years ago on a national level and am wrapping it up in November. Happy about that, too. The podcast, which you are listening to right now, this is actually the radio show and the podcast. This segment and the segment that was before this one will actually be on the podcast. The whole show doesn't go on the podcast. Podcast about 20 minutes, radio show about an hour. So anyhow, podcast will continue along with another podcast. So, you know, it's going to be exciting. Life is going to be good and everything is going to be wonderful. What are we doing about all these diseases that are in our plants? I was looking at my hibiscus just this afternoon. Looked at the hibiscus. Ex-wife number two, Diane, was here. We actually went out to dinner. We come back and she goes, Michael, your hibiscus looks terrible. And I said, yeah. And I looked at it, had a little leaf spot on it. I said, wow, well, what are we going to do about that? And here is what I did about it. I walked right in the house. I walked right out into my laundry room where I keep a pair of hydraulic hand shears, little hand things. And I went out there, and in about 5.5 minutes, I pruned out all the diseased stuff and very carefully took it and threw it in the trash. I did not recycle it. I threw it in the trash to be taken away. I didn't want to recycle anything that has a disease in it. Just don't. Want to get it out of here. It's gone. So that's done. Didn't spray anything. Didn't do anything. Just that. The other thing I would do on a normal situation like that would be to make sure that there's plenty of drainage, and there is, and everything is wonderful. The plant was fertilized properly during the proper fertilization time. Everything is good. I'm going to keep my eye on it, though. And that's what we do. You look at your plants. If you love your plants, do you love your plants? I love my plants, and I enjoy looking at them. I do. I really enjoy my plants. And, you know, I just do. So I gaze at them a lot and decide which ones I like the most. And sometimes I fall out of love with a plant, and guess what? I dig it up and get rid of it. I've been known to do that. But most of the time, I don't. Rarely. If there's a plant in my yard, in my landscape, it's because I want it there. Been here, you know, long enough to where I know what I want, and I put it there. And I deal with it. Now, my daughter wants to come over here and grow all kinds of stuff in my backyard. I don't do a lot in my backyard. My backyard is just there. And she wants to come over here and do a whole bunch of stuff. And I am tempted to let her, but the reason I'm not tempted to let her is because she will be very enthusiastic about it. She wants to do a bunch of raised beds. She wants to do trellises. She wants to do all kinds of stuff, which will be very, very nice. And then what's going to happen is she's going to, I don't know, meet a guy, fall in love. I don't know. Maybe she'll get another job that she likes more. Maybe she'll find other things to do. And then guess who's going to be left to take care of all that stuff? And I've got, you know, I've worked very hard over the past, several years to put my environment in a place where up until recently, I could maintain it myself very nicely. And it still looked very attractive. Now, when I get these medical issues that I have done with, and I'm going to get to the bottom of all of this, and I will take over maintaining the lawn again. But until then, I don't. But up until, you know, until this sort of happened, I had all the plants that I wanted that, you know, required X number of hours worth of maintenance a year. And I was very excited about that. And I took care of it. Everybody compliments my landscape. Everybody compliments my lawn. And it's nice. I've got a fenced-in backyard with a 6-foot privacy fence. I don't care about it. I don't spend a lot of time out there. I just don't. I've got other things going on in my life. So I don't spend a lot of time. If I had young kids and I had a dog, I don't have a dog, thank God, I'd be probably spending more time out there. Now, my daughter's been over here lately. Gosh, she wants to put a canopy. She wants to do all this stuff. And I don't go out there. She doesn't live here. I live here. So I'm probably not going to do that. She's just figuring all kinds of ways to spend my money to make the backyard a wonderful oasis. And I don't care. Nobody sees the backyard. Backyard gets mowed. Backyard gets, you know, taken care of. There's no weeds, you know, there's no, everything is prim and proper back there. But it is not a show place, and I don't care about it, because I'm at the age where I don't want to be out there doing a lot of maintenance other than mowing and going out there with the weed whacker, you know, just, and doing that. That's all I care about doing. And, you know, front yard, I spend more time on, but not that much time because, again, I've got it down to a science as to what I can take care of. Now, I remember when I was in the other house, which was much bigger, I had a much bigger backyard, and I had kids, and I had dogs, and I had all kinds of stuff going on back there. I was back there constantly doing things, you know, planting things and growing things. I had a vegetable garden back there. I had compost pile back there. I miss the compost pile. I really miss the compost pile. And I've been threatening to put one in my yard now, but I had one there, and I'd go out and maintain that compost pile. You just can't take a compost pile, stick it out there, and forget about it. It takes a certain amount of maintenance. You got to turn it. You got to, you know, you just got to take care of it. Make sure you're putting the right stuff in there. And I remember, oh, gosh, my daughter was a teenager when I had a compost pile. And she just put all the wrong stuff out in the compost. I had to ban her from the compost pile. She put meat out there. She put a bunch of stuff. I said, no, this is what goes out there. You know, banana peels, fine. You know, that type of thing. Anything that's green, fine. Lawn clippings, if we have any, fine. You trim some flowers or some shrubs, and there's not a lot of wood in there. If it's all very fine stuff, fine. You know, nothing else. So that's taken a little of education. She's bugging me the other day. Dad, we need a compost pile back here. No, we don't. But I kind of want one. I kind of miss it. If I had a compost pile now, which I don't, maybe next year, we'll see. But if I had a compost pile now, I would be top dressing my front yard with compost every spring. That's what I would do. I would build up a big, I was going to say big, bad word, compost pile, and I would, you know, get it to where it was just a fine powder. And I would take it out, and I would top dress my entire front yard in the spring to where it had the summer to just melt into it and enhance my soil. That's what I would do. And as we talk about disease prevention, nothing is better for disease prevention on both lawns and shrubs and ornamentals than good, healthy, nutrient-rich soil, natural nutrient-rich soil, which you can readily get from compost. Just readily get from compost. I was in St. Pete the other day. This lady had a section in her backyard that she wanted to plant a garden in. And the soil, it was just sand. And then she goes, what do I need to do? I said, you know, ideally, you got to really enrich that soil. And here's what I convinced her to do. I convinced her to start a compost pile. But I said, if you want this going now, you need to go out and buy some compost and start working it into the soil. And she called me up just this morning, and she goes, guess what, Michael? I said, what? She goes, I found a place. It's a bunch of organic gardeners that sell compost. And if you go up there in your pickup truck, you can shovel it in there, and they sell it real cheap. So she said, I'm going up there with my friend's pickup truck, and we're going to load it all up, and I'm going to take it back, and I'm going to enrich all that soil. I said, that is fantastic, because it'll spend the summer enriching, and then when the fall comes, you can plant a garden back there, and that will be good. So that's good. But I said, in the meantime, you know, you need to think about creating your own compost. And she goes, I am. She goes, I got a place in the yard all set up where we're going to do that. And I said, that's fantastic. So, you know, I used to love my compost pile. I had it originally fenced off with wire fencing. And then I just, you know, I don't know. I took some wood out there. And I built a little wall around, a three-sided wall around it with fencing in the front, and did that just because I liked it. Wood rotted before you know it. I mean, the wood just rotted. Don't ever use pressure-treated wood for that. But I liked the way it looked. But, you know, when I do it again, I'm going to use chicken wire and then have the front of it open to where I can get in there with my pitchfork and turn it constantly and love it and take care of my compost pile. Because that, ladies and gentlemen, is the key to having a wonderful garden and a wonderful lawn and growing wonderful things that you eat is having a nice compost pile. It is just something that works very well. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. Continue here on Ask the Garden Geek. I am Michael Kroos. I am the geek. Yeah. Back in my studio again, I got totally disrupted several weeks ago when my son, my 24-year-old son, announced to me that he would like to move back in. I said, sure, you can move back in anytime you want. He says, okay, I've got movers. I'll be there in like a half hour. I said, what? I said, well, no, I got a studio in there. I got, you know, Diane's got her eBay warehouse in there. He goes, well, we're coming. My girlfriend broke up with me and she threw me out. I said, oh, man. So, you know, I disassembled the studio as quickly as I could. Diane came over and we moved all of her stuff out to my dining room. I kind of put the studio halfway together in my bedroom. And, you know, Zach was here. And then the girlfriend all of a sudden is on the comeback trail. Totally on the comeback trail. And yesterday, she paid the movers that he paid to move him before to come move him back in. So they came, took all of his stuff out of here, and they're back together. I'm happy they're back together. You know why I'm happy they're back together? Because she bakes me stuff. She makes me pies and cookies and cake and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I'm glad. And plus, I like her. I don't know what's going on. But I think they're going to work it out. I think everything's going to be just wonderful. And I started putting the studio together. And the studio is not together. I have Studio B in here. This is not the A-plan studio. Instead of broadcasting through my, you know, mixer and my XLR cords and the expensive microphone, I'm using the less expensive microphone that goes directly into the computer. And I haven't, you know, it's about 3 to 4 hours to wire this thing up properly. And then I also had television lights in here because I was shooting videos in here. I put one of those lights back in tonight so I could see. And I have to set the rest of the lights up. So hopefully by next week, everything will be back to normal and everything is good. I'm teaching, by the way, podcasting at the Tampa Bay Technology Center in Clearwater, Florida. And I have a class of about 22 people. And we are talking about all the equipment that you need and everything. What I'm broadcasting my nationally syndicated show on tonight is a relatively inexpensive setup. I have my laptop here, just an ordinary laptop. I do have a rather high-end audio editing software hooked up, but there's one that you can get for free called Audacity, which works just as well as this one, except it takes 3 to 4 times as long to do everything. You know, this one's much, much better, but I can still produce a radio show or a podcast on that just as well as I can on this one. This one's just a lot easier. But so I'm sitting here with a under $100 microphone and a computer and a USB cord going directly into the computer and then using the software and producing this radio show this week. Now, next week, it'll be different. I'll have a mixer. I'll have an audio compressor hooked up. I'll have all kinds of stuff hooked into this thing to where it's much more professional. But I think it sounds good. Do you think it sounds good? Do you think it sounds bad? Let me know. You know, I would, just by saying that, I'm going to have a bunch of people write and say, you sound terrible. No, they won't. I love my audience. My audience is very, very, very good. So this is good. Sitting over there on the floor is a gardening book. Yes, a gardening book. I have not opened it yet, but I know it's a gardening book because people send me gardening books all the time. And I'm going to give that gardening book away now if you want it. But this time, and by the way, I found out I'm getting 3 more gardening books. But this week it's going to be special. This week, it is going to be special. It is going to be mailed out to the first, I'm sorry, this is terribly sexist, the first female who takes a picture of her and a plant. That's all I care about, her and a plant. Sorry, guys. Next week, I'm going to come to you. Next week is going to be guys only. I'll give one away to guys only. But this time, I'm going back to old school. I'm going to be sexist as can be. And a female, if you are a female, and you take a picture of you and a plant, and you are the first one to email it to me at michael.crose, C-R-O-S-E, at gmail.com, and I get that, you get the book. I don't even know what the book is. It's sitting over there on an envelope on the floor. I have to look at it. I've been so busy putting this thing back together and, you know, getting my week done and going through health issues and going to doctors and all kinds of other stuff. I haven't had time to do that. But on Saturday, when the radio show airs and I get my first email from a female and her plant, I don't care what kind of plant it is, you know what would make me really happy is if it was a avocado plant. That'd make me really happy. A female and an avocado plant. You know, the avocado plant was the first plant that was the only plant that was ever used as an Arthur plant in Mad Magazine, which, by the way, is the reason that I am here. The reason that I got into gardening was because I read Mad Magazine as a kid. Now I understand they're only going to publish once a year, original or new material. And the rest of the time, they're going to show old stuff that they're going to stick back up there, which might be good because, you know, I get to go back and see some of the old stuff. I don't read it very often, but I, you know, loved it. But in Mad Magazine, back in the 60s, in different strips in Mad Magazine, located in different parts of the magazine, you would see a plant in a pot in the back, and it had a name on it. It says Arthur. And it popped up, and it curved over, had a couple of single leaves coming off the top. Well, I was a big fan of Mad Magazine. And I was a big fan of that plant, and I wanted one. So I wrote a letter to William F. Gaines. How old was I? I was like 10. I think I was 10 years old. I wrote a letter to William F. Gaines, the publisher of Mad Magazine, and I told him that I really wanted an Arthur plant, and where could I get one? I would do whatever I needed to do to get an Arthur plant. And I'll be darned, and I don't have it anymore. I do not know what happened to it. He sent me back a letter with instructions on how to grow an Arthur plant from seed, which turned out to be an avocado. And my mother helped me. We took the avocado seed out of the avocado. We stuck toothpicks in it. We put it on top of a glass. We filled it with water, and we put it in the window, and we waited for it to take root. And it took root, and then we saw it sprouting at the top, at which point we transplanted it into a pot, and it grew, and my sister made me the name thing on it that said Arthur, and I had an Arthur plant, and because of that, William F. Gaines, I'm doing, for the last 33 years, the nation's best gardening show. How's that? Mad Magazine, Alfred E. Newman. What, me worry?